Well, hello everybody, and welcome to our Everyday Disciples podcast. It's a place where real people are sharing real stories of how Jesus has transformed their lives. And each episode, we're having these honest conversations to hear from members in our congregation as they reflect and think about their faith journey and the challenges they've gone through and where God has been at work in their everyday lives. And I'm excited for today's conversation. So if you don't know me, my name is Brad. I'm one of the pastors on staff here, and I am with Julie. Julie, how long have you been attending WMB now?
About 15 years.
About 15 years. And I had the pleasure of hanging out with your two kids, Josh and Anna, during their youth days for many years while I was youth pastoring. And yeah, we've gotten to know you guys well over the years. I still remember when Josh had blue hair in grade 7. That was awesome. Thank you so much for joining us and just for being willing to share your story. You know, like, so that I think the episode title of this is Julie Mills on Divorce, Singleness, and Healing, which is a catchy title. That's for sure. It's going to grab some attention. Would you be willing to just start by sharing your story? Like, what has happened in your life that has brought you to this place?
It's funny that you mentioned Josh's blue hair, because back in the day I had a blue streak in my hair as well. So we came here about 15 years ago. God brought us from the church that we were at. It was definitely God leading us here. Josh came to VBS here, or whatever it was called at the time.
Yep.
And he always, they did the VBS circuit. So they went to a lot of churches, but this was the one he always referred to as our other church, even before we started coming here. So God went ahead of us in so many ways. I'm here to talk because I went through a divorce, and I mean, my story is not very different from most people that go through divorce, because the bottom line is that, like Paul said in his sermon the other week, it's the tearing apart, the ripping, the life takes a totally different course from what you expected, and you have to regroup and figure out where you're going. And because of the changes, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of hurt. And as a woman, you have a habit of taking care of everybody else more than yourself. And it reached a point that I was like, I need connection. I need to heal. I need to refine myself. And which is why I commented on the blue hair, because there's so many parts of myself that I lost through the marriage, which is also why I brought this. So when I got married, my pastor at the time gave me this. It actually says Harley Fund, but I'm not a Harley person. I like Gold Wings. It's been my dream bike for 40 odd years.
Yeah.
But when he gave it to me, he said, I'm giving you this so that you don't lose yourself. Riding bikes is something that I definitely lost through the marriage for many reasons. And that I've gotten back into. And a couple of years ago, when I was a passenger on a bike, I was just like, how in the world did I let this get away from me? And just the way God brought it about for me to rediscover that part of myself and find myself again. So there's the big overview.
that's good. I'm curious to know, like, you know, you said that it's so unexpected, right? Of course no one enters into a marriage thinking, oh yeah, like down the road that's gonna happen. Could you tell me a little bit about what was going through your mind when you were kind of realizing that this was reality? You know, especially in kind of the perspective of like, God, where are you in all of this? You know, what were you asking God during that season, you know?
God was very faithful. He was definitely faithful. And God just prepared the way in so many ways, like bringing us here. And like in retrospect, I can just see so much, but he definitely made his presence known through songs, through scriptures that I was given, through people that he brought into my life. And just the way that things were arranged for when it became apparent that, this needs to end. Right.
Yeah.
So it was the summer of 2019 that it was like something needs to change. So he moved out of the house and with the plan that we were working on things and just, taking space so that we could each heal from stuff. But then it was January or so of 2020 that I realized that nope, this is not going to happen. And so the funny part is that most of the divorce stuff happened through COVID. So people were not aware of it. Close friends were, but so many people were not aware of it. So and in a way that was also a blessing because when we came back to church, people were like, "Well, where is he?" And I'm like, "I don't know. We're divorced or separated. I've totally lost track of time." But and they were like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." But it was just for me and the kids, it was just this is where we were at. So yeah, just there was questioning because obviously everything in life changed. God definitely gave me Josh. Josh gave me, God gave me my kids as a gift.
He sure did. Could you tell me more about that?
Just through it all, the three of us just really clung to each other, supported each other. Josh in particular is very aware of his emotional needs, and one of those being when COVID happened, I will lose my mind if I have to stay in this house alone with the two of you. So I'm getting a job at Walmart as an excuse to get out of the house. How God just directed his path through the youth videos, which was all part of God bringing us here, that he was able to find his path. Anna's now at Redeemer and she's found her path, and all of that is through people here and God directing people into our lives. So one of the people that he directed into our life was Sandra Cosino. The mighty force. So at the time I was in a small group with her daughter, and that was weird too, because her the small group that I was in, we had been in as a couple, and so when he was not there anymore, everything was just to me felt weird and awkward, and I mean the church as a whole does not handle divorce well. So for and it and just within that small group, the people were wonderful and still friends, but it was just weird being there without him. But anyway, April said, "Julie, you really need to talk to my mom." And so I called Sandra, even though she had been in touch with me many times, but it was just at the point of, okay, something needs to happen. So she invited me to join. Well, first I had gone to divorce care, and that was great. And there was a guy that was in the divorce care that Sandra invited me to go to Kingdom Bound Christian Music Festival at Darien Lake. And he had also joined that singles group. And so we went to, there were about 10 of us at Darien Lake, and Sandra and this gentleman were the only two people that I knew when I went. Josh and a friend of his went, and that was always important for me to kind of have something to hide behind, right? some sort of security. Because at the time I was having a lot of panic attacks and anxiety was overwhelming. And so just having Josh there was, I was able to kind of focus on something besides all these strangers. And then I would start to go to singles events, but often I had to leave just because anxiety and panic attacks and just something new and navigating being single again. All of that was just very overwhelming. So it's through the singles group that I got a lot of healing. It reached a point where I just went, okay, something needs to change. I don't have a lot of people in my life and I need something to change. Mm-hmm. So I went to a retreat. There were about 20 people at the retreat. This was about 7 months after Kingdom Bound, 7-8 months after Kingdom Bound. And I just really felt the need to connect. And one of the first people that talked to me, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first people that talked to me, she just poured out her story.
Mm.
And like I said, it honestly doesn't matter the details of the divorce.
Yeah.
The point is that people understood.
Yeah.
People understood what happened. And for the first time, I was like, I kind of started to feel comfortable being divorced and got to know people on a deeper level that I'm still friends with that I met that weekend and just lots of support just from people sharing a story. Yeah. So, I mean, singles groups are people whose spouses passed, have never been married or are divorced, but it's still the common story of life didn't always go as planned,
as
right?
Expected. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, what I appreciate about you just coming and sharing this, sharing your story is that, you know, there's pieces of it that I think we can all relate to. And then there's uniqueness to each of these things too, right? And what I think I appreciate about your story is two things I saw in there. One is the way the church can come around and be a community, and the way it both welcomed you in, but you also made a deliberate decision to say, like, I can't just stay here. Like, I gotta go do something. And you'd mentioned how God was like orchestrating things even from well before, and just seeing his hand and how he'd been providing some things in there too really stands out to me. I can only imagine how discombobulating it would have felt coming back after COVID and this has happened. Like, Lee and I, we came back to church with two extra kids than from before COVID, but to have something like that and not, you know, not have everyone know your small group and just how that would have just kind of been so confusing. I can only imagine, right? Like, I can't imagine what you'd gone through. So I think I want to say in all that, like, I'm really sorry for it all, and yet I'm really glad you're sharing it, because I do think it's gonna mean some things to people.
Yeah, because one of the things I was thinking about is just how what people see on the surface is not the reality, right?
Yeah.
Like I can go through my Facebook feed and see pictures of when we were married, and it looks happy, but I see the bigger story of what was there.
Yeah,
when we were at church, people would see him as the outgoing, friendly, loves everybody, but didn't know what was going on at home.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's the heart. And maybe that's part of what makes divorce in the church so awkward is just that people have this perception in their mind. And when it falls apart, they're left confused and don't know what to say.
Yeah.
One person that I met in the singles group, he had said about somebody at his church got divorced, and he was like, oh yeah, sorry about that, you know, sorry that had to happen. And that was the end of it for him. Then when he got divorced, he just realized how much deeper it was and how much more support was needed than just, sorry about that, I'll pray for you, right?
Right, right.
Part of it being COVID is like all of our mediation and separation agreement, divorce, everything happened virtually.
Right.
And, Which was another blessing because so many emotions were just packed down that when I did actually sign the divorce and I closed the computer and I had the luxury of being at home with nobody around and I was a mess on the floor just crying out to God. And one thing that that God had brought up for me at that point, the story when Jesus healed at the pool of Bethsaida, and the guy was like, yeah, well, I can't get to the pool.
Yeah.
But Jesus' question to him was, do you want to be healed? And that's what kept going through my mind was, do you want to be healed?
Yeah.
And so part of that was just releasing all the emotions and everything to God. And that alone was healing, that it's like, because first we did the mediation, we had the separation agreement, and I didn't really see the point of divorce, you know, like, it was like, it doesn't make a lot of difference. But then once that separation agreement was in place, it was like, no, I need this done. I need this closed. I need to be able to move on. And all that was part of, do you want to be healed? So I did do counseling off and on through this whole thing. And at one point, the doctor put me on medication to help me stay calm and everything. I have a wonderful doctor, and he was so incredibly supportive. And I felt like I was healed. I felt like everything was going so good. And then I started seeing somebody, and everything fell apart again. And I was just, in the last week, I was watching a video on trauma, and he described it as like a wound, an open wound that sits there. But when it gets touched, that's when it's painful. That's when you pull away. And he also talked about, he used the image of the gun, and you always hear about triggers. This triggered me, right? But if you look at the gun, the trigger is actually such the small part of the gun, but it's what causes the explosive reaction. So I started seeing this guy, and just so many emotions were brought to the surface, and so many triggers, and so many panic attacks. And I'm sure I left him spinning, going, I have no clue what's going on here, because I couldn't identify that either. And it was like a panic attack is the body hijacks the brain. You can't think logically. It just seeks to protect you. And there was so much that through the marriage, I was feeling the need to protect myself. I want to be clear. He was not physically abusive. I just want to make sure that that's clear. But just that emotional need of protection and wanting to protect the kids from everything that was going on, because, and that just kept getting that wound, right? And so I ended up, I have a friend that's a counselor, and we've supported each other through the years. And at that point, I was like, if I just see my friend, everything will be fine. And we started talking, and her response was just like, dude, get yourself to counseling. Do it now. And God led me to an amazing counselor, and just so much healing through that. I haven't had a panic attack for a long time because I was able to work through those issues. And part of that healing journey, I went from being with other Christians in safe places and needing to leave because I couldn't handle being with the people, to I got a bike again, and somebody from this church actually introduced me to a bike club. But a bike club in a different town. But it's an international club. And so I connected with the Kitchener branch, and basically went from not being able to be with people that I knew to finding myself and my passion for bikes again,
yeah.
motorcycles, yeah. to be clear,
yeah.
not bicycles, and walking up to this group of people in the club and saying, "Hi, I'm here. I ride. Let's go."
Kind yeah.
of, you know,
yeah.
and those people have also become very important to me,
yeah.
and
yeah.
and I'm just part of that group as well. Yeah. But that wouldn't have happened without the healing from the singles
yeah.
group.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. Tell me more about the healing journey, because I love that you're getting there, and I'd be curious to know, like, how has God renewed you? Like, how do you feel like a different person at this stage compared to where you were 4 years ago?
I feel much more relaxed, I guess.
Mm.
Four years ago, I felt the need to try and control everything in my environment and everything that was happening. And I'd mentioned that God brought songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a list of my go-to songs for,
yeah.
for strength through the divorce process and everything. You know, Raise a Hallelujah was one of them. Even Louder, you know, all about, and ironically, or God driven, they're all about praising through the storm.
Yeah.
And I had this list and I had it taped on the filing cabinet, and Anna came to me and said, "Mom, what's your favorite song?" And I said, "Oh, well, there's a list there of songs." And she ended up giving me a Christmas present, and it has like a link to the Spotify song. And she chose the song, which was not on the list, by For King and Country, Control.
Mm.
And just giving up control.
Mm.
And that was just the perfect song at that time of just being able to give up control and trusting God with the story and not needing to manage every little aspect of life.
Yeah.
And there's just so much that I feel like I'm just able to let go and trust God, because trust is a huge yeah. issue for me.
Mm. and, such a big part of the faith journey.
Yeah. yeah. And I just, I'm feeling a deeper ability to trust. And,
yeah.
and God wow. has given me so much. Like, you know, last year I got the motorcycle and I used to travel a lot. And this year it's been more about travel. God's provided opportunities for me.
Yeah.
I was in Cuba in January. I'm going to see Josh in England mm-hmm. in April. And it's been a really long time since I've been anywhere. And God had promised me that I felt God promise that he's going to restore what had been lost.
Mm.
So just getting the bike, traveling,
yeah.
people in my life that have come back that, for various reasons I was separated from, but they've come back into my life, and just so much confidence.
Yeah.
And part of the healing, it, like, I've had long standing issues with just never feeling good enough.
Mm.
Feeling less than, you know, like I'm good enough until something better comes along. Those were feelings that I've carried for most of my life. And I feel like so much of that is healed. And, mm-hmm. and I did the Freedom Sessions, and I feel like the Freedom Sessions got me so far, but it was the individual counseling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And targeting specific things and being able to talk about through yeah. specific things that was able to yeah. get me to the point of, you know what, I'm good enough the way I am. Yeah, and it's a work in process, right?
Of course, yeah. But he loves you enough already to go to the cross. Yeah, yeah. You know, we talked earlier about how, you know, you've got this community around you, both the singles group, your biker gang, and just how the church has come around. I know the church isn't perfect in this area, which is, we've been talking about that a little bit already off camera, and was kind of part of the reason we even wanted to do this, right? Like, to share that this is a reality for people, including in our church. And yeah, we haven't always done a good job of talking about it. And so I'm glad we're doing this, and that's why I'm really glad you're sharing your story. So I think a question I have then is, you know, how how would you have wanted to see the church care for you during that time? Or like, how do we care for others within our community who might be going through similar situations?
I think the challenge is that you don't understand what going through divorce is until you go through it. It's similar to giving to childbirth. Until I gave birth to a child, I could have read all the books, talked to all the people, but I wouldn't have gotten it until I actually gave birth.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with divorce. And I think people just need to be willing to listen. When there's challenges, people need to be able to talk about it. And I'm not saying talk to everybody that walks through the door, but to have your circle, to know who you can trust. You kind of get the feeling that like, oh, if you would have prayed more, oh, if you would have had more faith, things would have worked out if you just would have prayed more. And bottom line is we live in a fallen world and people make their own choices.
Yeah.
The movie War Room. I watch that movie every week. I clung to that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
And in movies, everything always works out perfect. Real life is not the same way.
Yeah.
I just think that there's an awkwardness because divorce is not what God calls us to. That's not what God wants. And people just in the church always look for the happy ending.
Yeah.
God's going to take care of everything, which he is, just not the way that I thought, because like I said, we live in a fallen world and people are allowed to make their own decisions.
Yeah, so. For sure. And yet he shows up to redeem and renew even the broken things. And like your story is such a good example of that. And just seeing where you're at now compared to before and the things you've been able to rediscover. And I totally know that, like, that excitement around, like, just being able to do something you really love doing, right? Like, motorbikes for you. And just the joy that can bring. And, you know, like, I really do think Jesus was serious when he said he came to give us life to the fullest. Even in the midst of some of the hard stuff, right?
And the people that knew me back in the day are like, I'm so glad that you found bikes again. Yeah. I'm so glad that you have one. I'm so glad that you're riding. Other people that have known me in the last like 10 years are like, what?
Yeah.
But my kids were happy because they would always see me when a bike would drive by going,
oh. It looks so cool.
When it was apparent that this is ending and that he needed to leave. And that's another thing. God provided that we were able to stay in the house. The kids had their stability, that not everything was disrupted. I had it far better than so many people that I know because I could stay in the house because we, so many things. But I went up for prayer when it was okay. That this is it. And the person that prayed for me was just like, you know, I really feel God's got more for your family. God's got more. And she prayed Ephesians 3:20. That stuck with me. God restoring things and building new things. Yeah. All these verses just really helped.
Yeah.
Solidify and grow
and it's amazing.
And there was a picture that came into my Facebook feed like first thing this morning when this is the first thing that's on my mind. The same God who saw the moment your heart was wounded is the same God who knows how to restore it. And just things like that coming up that just kept reassuring me that God is with me.
Yeah.
God's with the kids that
absolutely
and just seeing how far they've come and their own personalities and they're growing and them overcoming stuff
definitely
which I know that you would definitely see it having gotten to know them.
It's truly amazing. Thanks, Julie. Is there anything else you would want to say? Just to kind of wrap things up, anything you would want people to know if they're going through something similar?
Just to reach out, I mean, there's, it would be a couple hours to sit and talk about everything that happened, but I'm willing to share any part of my story with anybody one-on-one if they need to talk. And we have the singles group that we've started here at church that it's just nice to have a group of people that, so, the singles group was meeting for a Bible study. We went to a Christmas bazaar afterwards, and we bumped into my ex. And that's another thing, being in singles, I got used to calling him my ex. That just became normal language. But just bumping into him unexpectedly, it threw me off balance for the rest of the day. If I would have been with married people, they would have been like, "Oh, you saw your ex." Oh. The people I was with were reaching out through the day. "How are you doing? We're praying for you." Like, they understood how off balance that can throw you. The term that the one person said was the difference between a planned meeting and seeing them in the wild, right? Just unexpectedly. So just knowing that there's people you can talk to, even if you feel like that's where your marriage is going, just being able to talk about it and coming up with options to try and save it, as well. Just talk about it and find people, find your circle, find your tribe that will support you through stuff.
Don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing, being honest and vulnerable through this. That makes a huge difference. I'm very grateful for you. Thank you.
Thank
And as you said, singles ministry is definitely something that people could get in touch with and connected to, and that's where you are. And I'll link that in the description for this episode. So thank you, Julie. Thank you so much for your story and for being part of our church.